The portion of God's Word that we consider this evening is found in the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Opening our Bibles together to God's Word in Ezekiel, chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. May God bless His Word, the reading of His Word, to our hearts. The prophet Ezekiel faced two vexing problems. The first problem was that the people of God would not take their sin to heart. Ezekiel was God's prophet to the captives in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar had first come and taken most of the people out of Jerusalem, but the city of Jerusalem itself and Solomon's temple stood. And Ezekiel was God's prophet to those captives who were taken. And he was sent of the Lord to tell them that Jerusalem and Solomon's temple that was standing when they last saw it would surely fall and would be pulverized to dust. And the people said to him, No, no, that won't be. Yes, things are bad for us. Things have taken a turn for the worse. But we are the people of God. The temple of Solomon still stands. No, no, our sin will not catch up to us. The consequences of our sin, we will escape. Somehow, we will get back there to Solomon's temple. With a carnal security, yes, there are setbacks, but it's going to come out all right because we are guaranteed the people of God are we. It was something like, was it in the 1980s when they advertised the Scotch guarding of your sofa? And now you could spill without any consequences. They believed that they could sin, but they were the people of God, and there would be no consequences. And Ezekiel prophesied, chapter 33, God will lay the land desolate because of all the abominations which you have committed. And the people said to him, Ezekiel, this is chapter 33, Ezekiel, we like your sermons. You are a man who has a very pleasant voice, and your sermons are like a lovely song. But no. No. That's not going to happen to us. Our sins will not catch up to us. The second difficulty he had was when that word that he had prophesied came true, and Jerusalem and its temple were leveled, that then when he returned to the people and ministered to them, then they would not believe God's promise of mercy. After Jerusalem fell and was ground to powder, Ezekiel prophesied that God's mercy would nevertheless be upon them and repentant sinners, and he would restore them again to the land, and he would bless them. And they said, no, no. Not no, no in carnal security, but now, no. It can't happen. We're finished. It's over. Our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. First, they would not reckon with the depth and the consequence of sin. Second, when the ugly reality of their sins did catch them, they would not believe the promise of God's grace to restore them. Their former carnal security was replaced with despair. That's so much our nature. By nature, instinctively, when God says something, we believe the opposite. To the warnings of sin? No, no, that's not true of me. That won't happen to me. It won't catch me. And then when God comes with His chastening hand, and the promises of God are told us, no, it's hopeless now. We instinctively believe the very opposite. And now, in our text, the prophet is sent. In the prophecy of the resurrection of dry bones to God's children who were hopeless, who were caught in the demon of despair, who saw no light of hope, whose souls were living under gloom. I will bring you out of your graves. I will restore you to the land. On this resurrection day, God's promises to us are exceedingly great and precious and wonderful. God's promises to us as we stand before the reality of our sins that convict us. God's promises to us as we stand before the reality of death and the jaws of hopelessness and despair. God says to us through a risen Savior today, O my people, I will open your graves. I will cause you to come out, and I will take you out of your graves.
Is your hope lost? Is the cherished desire and prayer that you have had for so long now crushed in your heart? From your life, can you find only a reason for despair and defeat? Has the bones of your hope turned dry? Or is it tonight the consequences? The consequences of your sin and the penalties of your sin have caught up to you, and you bemoan yourself. And you say, what have I done? Or is it tonight death itself? The unutterable separation that you are robbed. You believe you have been robbed of everything that should have been. And you stand before either a trial, before a grave, or before a sin. And you say, can these bones live? My hope is perished from the Lord. Prophesy, Son of Man, prophesy to these dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye dry bones. For this is resurrection day. This is the day of victory. This is the day of our hope. This is the day of the victory of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And we are risen with Him. These bones will rise again. That's our theme. Let's look at the amazing vision, the wonderful interpretation or fulfillment, and finally the living hope that is ours. The Spirit of God, in a vision, has carried Ezekiel the prophet and set him down in the middle of a valley. And this valley is full of dry bones. That's verse 1. Verse 2, God causes the prophet to walk around in that valley. Picture to yourself Death Valley with the mountains far away. A broad, flat, dry valley. And God wants him to walk around to impress upon his heart, impress upon Ezekiel's heart, the hopelessness. That he would feel the hopelessness of the situation that he is seeing in his own soul. And behold, says Ezekiel, there were very many dry bones in the open valley. It's littered with dry bones. And they were very dry. The floor of the valley is covered with human bones, scattered as far as the eye could see. And these bones are not lying nicely as a skeleton, a recognizable skeleton, but they are disjointed and they are severed. They are very many. And they are very dry. There is no flesh on these bones. There is no blood within the marrow of the bone. They are bleached by the sun. They are dried. If you were standing next to an archaeologist and you saw that bone and you were about to reach over to pick it up, he'd say, don't pick it up. If you pick it up, you're going to get dust in your hand. Leave it alone for us to preserve. It was ready to turn into dust. These bones had not been buried. They were scattered as they fell. Evidently, these people had been dismembered and their bones had been scattered. And Ezekiel realizes that what he is seeing is a battlefield. And he stands before the sight of a slaughtered army. Verse 10. They were an exceeding great army. And they were slaughtered in their ranks. And now their bones are scattered. The ankle bone and the knee bone and the hip bone and femurs and skulls were all scattered through each other and exposed. And the vision is awful. And silence comes upon the prophet as it penetrates into his soul.
There is no wind blowing. There is no life in this valley. It is nothing but devastation. There's not a drop of life or moisture. Everything is ghastly. In other words, man now is being pictured as exact as coming to the place. Man has come to the place where sin leads him. The wages of sin is death. This is where it ends. This is where sin brings. This is behind Satan's lie to Eve. Man now has come to hopelessness and despair. And God says, Ezekiel, take it all in. Take it in. Who are they? Whose bones? They're not the bones of the heathen. They're not the bones of a Babylonian army. In fact, in chapter 39 of Ezekiel, in the prophecy of Gog and Magog, in the last days, verse 13 of chapter 39 says that when the Lord has victory over Gog and Magog, all my people shall bury them out of sight. The bones of the wicked will be buried. But these bones, verse 11, these bones are the bones of the whole house of Israel. The whole house of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob, the 10 tribes that had been carried captive by Assyria, and the southern kingdom of Judah that had been carried captive by Babylon. In other words, this is the bone. These are the bones of the church of God. The church of God that was built by God to fight the good fight of faith, the spiritual battle of the ages against sin, to fight against the devil and the whole world. The whole house is dry bones. Sin apparently has defeated Israel, has slaughtered them. It appears to Ezekiel that God's people are perished. That sin and death has not just taken them, but sin and death has feasted on them. And so it may seem to us, that sin, when everything is said and done, my sin, it ruins everything. Broken homes, addictions, abuse, and then death. Death comes. And death destroys us and turns us to dust. It appears we are defeated. Now God will speak to the prophet as he stands in the valley of death. Verse 3, Son of man, can these bones live? Is there a way out of this death, this sin, this hopelessness? Can sin and death be overthrown? Can death be swallowed by immortality? And Ezekiel, at least you and I, perhaps Ezekiel as well, would have been ready to blurt out the answer, not a chance, not a chance. Not as far as we know. Not as far as our minds tell us. Not a chance. But the prophet knows that it is God who is asking him the question. And while he knows of no remedy and no possibility and no power, he knows of none. He answers, O Lord God, thou knowest. He reasons that God would not have asked him the question. God would not have confronted him with this vision. God would not have shown him these bones and their devastation and asked him the question if God did not intend to teach him the gospel. And God brings then to Ezekiel and to you and to me the truth of God's redeeming power a power that He performs by His Word, by His Son, Jesus Christ, His Word, and by His Spirit. A Word so powerful as to resurrect dry bones. God says to him, prophesy to these bones. Prophesy, you're a prophet. Preach. Preach to dry bones, to death itself, and to those in death and hopeless. Say to them, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Speak my bone, my words, to these bones, my life-giving, creative word. Speak the living and the abiding word of God, that word which is in Jesus Christ. Speak that word. And so Ezekiel does as he is told, and he begins to prophesy, to preach. And I prophesied as I was commanded. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He speaks the word of the Lord. And as he is speaking, there's a noise. There's a rattling. There's a clonking. And the noise is not the noise of angels' wings fluttering over the valley. And the noise is not the voice of an earthquake or of thunder. But the noise is the clanking and the rattling of bones that had been severed. These bones begin to come together, sort themselves out, and return themselves to the skeletons. And as he preaches, not only to the rib cage and the arm and the pelvis and the head, skull and the foot bones and the hands all come back together perfectly, but then he notices that the sinew, that is the cartilage and the muscles and the tendons, they too begin to attach themselves at the right place to the bones as the Creator has fashioned it. And then he sees that flesh begins to cover over these bones, flesh and skin, a great wonder, so that now the valley is covered with an exceeding great army. But there is no breath in them. Their bodies are on the ground. Then said he to me, Son of man, prophesy to the wind. Preach to the wind. Prophesy, son of man. Command the wind. Say to the wind, come from the four winds, or come from the four corners of the earth, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And God's word commands the wind, and the wind, the Spirit of God, blows upon them, and breath comes into their lungs, and their chests begin to heave, and they stand up in the valley upon their feet, an exceeding great army. The Word of God, and the Spirit of God have raised up dry bones and restored them to bodies and breath. Hear the Word of the Lord. God's marvelous, beautiful, powerful word that He has spoken through Jesus Christ. For God has now spoken His word through Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. He is the Word of God. He is, and His gospel is the power with the Holy Spirit breathing upon that word into your heart. So that when you hear the Spirit opening your heart and breathing upon you, and you hear that word, and God creates within you, and you hear the gospel, the words of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Spirit was moving within you, dry bones are raised to life. The interpretation, the fulfillment, Reformed theology teaches us to interpret prophecy in a fulfillment in the past, in the present, and in the future. The fulfillment of this Word of God is first in the past. The first fulfillment is Judah will be delivered from Babylonian captivity and from the hopeless condition that they found themselves in. And that deliverance would be typical or a sign representing the deliverance of Jesus Christ in His cross and resurrection. This is God's interpretation of the vision. Verse 12, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. And I will put my spirit, verse 14, I will put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. To Judah, when they, after 70 years, were restored to Jerusalem out of the Babylonian captivity, to Judah, this was a resurrection. This was a resurrection from the dead. To be restored as the people of God. We sang from Psalm 126, we were like them that dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. The Lord hath done great things for us. To the house of Judah in captivity in Babylon, they were saying, you say, verse 11, God says, this is what you're saying, as my prophet has told you of the destruction of Jerusalem because of your sin, because now you are face to face with the reality of your sin. You know it. You feel it. And this is what you're saying. Our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We are cut off from those former parts in the land of Judah. But I will bring you out of your grave. And I will bring you back. The fulfillment was first there. The fulfillment was not premillennialism. We won't spend time on this. Premillennialism would say the fulfillment was 1948 when the United Nations made Israel a state. Or they would say the fulfillment will be after the rapture and 1,000-year reign of Jesus among the Jews. No. Judah is the church. The ones who have embraced the promises of God in Jesus Christ. And God's taking Judah out of the bondage of Babylonian captivity is the marvel of, and his raising, as he portrays it, as the raising of dry bones out of the valley, is a picture of His redemption from sin in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 10 tells us that everything in the Bible holds together in Christ. Christ is the center of all the Bible. And so the fulfillment is first of all Judah being brought out of Babylon as a picture of Jesus Christ to redeem from the captivity of sin all of His own in His marvelous power. The interpretation is, first of all, the promise of grace to pardon our sins. Do you say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost? Do you say that because of sin? Do you say that because of sin in your family, in your situation, in your loved one? You say, my marriage is heaviness to me. Do you say, my hope
for my children, for my daughter, for my son, cannot be realized. You say, my life's work is a failure. Do you say, my life has been ruined? It was violated when I was a child through abuse. And the demon of abuse will never let me go. My hope is lost. My bones are dried. Do you say, my sin, my addiction, giving myself over to the power of that sin has swallowed my life and I cannot escape. O my people, hear the word of the Lord. These bones will rise again. I will bring you out of your graves by the power of the grace, by the power of the Word, by Jesus Christ and His Spirit. I will strengthen you. I will settle you. I will give you strength for one day at a time. Secondly, the fulfillment is in the present. It's in regeneration. This passage is talking the truth of regeneration. The resurrection of dry bones, the resurrection of the dead, is the figure of the marvelous power of spiritual rebirth. The prophet is speaking the same truth as Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you who were dead, in trespasses and sins, hath He quickened, made alive in Christ. The passage is saying the same thing as Jesus in John 5, as the Father raises the dead and quickens them, makes them alive, even so the Son quickens. The Son of God makes alive whomsoever He will. The Son of God, by His Spirit, has the power to regenerate us unto a new life. Dry bones is the picture of ourselves in the depravity of our sin. It's the picture of the depravity of man. It's the picture of spiritual death as it reigns over man. It's the picture of the whole world. It's nothing but a valley, spiritually, of dry bones. And so were we. No power exists in those bones to join themselves again. Of course not. Salvation is not an offer of God for what the bone will do, what the sinner will do. Salvation is the power, the mighty power of what God does. Total depravity demands regeneration by grace, the Spirit implanting in us new life. No arguments are going to change the unbeliever. No system of education will morally improve man. No government, no policy, no religion of men will make man virtuous. But the Spirit of the risen Jesus, He must blow. As the Spirit of God, He must blow His life. Throughout the four corners of the earth, He must bring the word of the gospel, and He must blow and give us breath in Jesus Christ. This is regeneration to our hearts. Who but the Spirit of God is able to kindle life in dead sinners?
Who but the Spirit of God can take a loved one out of their rebellion, out of their pride? Who but the Spirit of God can release somebody out of their addictions and the bondage of sin, their drunkenness, their denials, their delusion, their despair, their sinful way? Can these bones live? Not a chance. But hear the word of the Lord. Come, blow, Spirit, bring the word. Who but the Spirit of God can take our limp, indifferent, apathetic, emotionless hearts? Hearts that are captive to Satan by his will. Who but the Spirit of God can breathe into us that we might live in faith? The present interpretation is the power of the regenerating Spirit of Christ to take us out of the bondage of our sin and to open our hearts in faith to Jesus Christ. This is the resurrection of dry bones. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The third fulfillment is the future. This prophecy points to the resurrection day, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall descend into the valley of dry bones, and he shall call them forth from their graves, every one that is his own. And he will give us new bodies like unto his most glorious body. We have stood as a congregation in this year before graves. We have stood before a grave in the chill wind. We have stood before the grave as the body is placed into the ground. Can these bones live? Can our loved one whose eyes we closed in death, can a loved one whose absence is felt so painfully, especially today, especially on a special day like this one, can they live again? And what of that vast valley of bones? Of the saints of God whose bones are dust, whose graves are unmarked, and in whose death, perhaps as martyrs, their body was torn asunder. Can these bones live? Thou knowest, O Lord God, prophesy, prophesy, Son of Man. Hear the word of the Lord. The day cometh in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And they that are in the grave shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Do not marvel at this. This day is coming when Jesus will stand before every one of those graves, and his Spirit will blow, and they will come forth. We will come forth. We will be raised in newness of life. In the day that Jesus Christ stands again upon this earth and his Spirit gathers from the four corners of the earth all those for whom he shed his blood. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the moment of the sound of the last trump, I will open your graves, and I will bring you out unto your land, the land of the new heavens and the new earth. He has done this. For Jesus Christ is risen from the dead today. He is the first fruits of all those who sleep. He has sent forth his Spirit into our hearts. We are regenerated. He lives. Christ lives today, and because he lives,
we shall live forever.
And therefore we have hope. Judah was saying, as they sat under the ministry of Ezekiel, No. Our hope is lost. Do you say that? Do you say that tonight in your trial? Do you say that in your circumstance? Do you say that when you look at what has happened or what needs to be done in a loved one? Do you say, my hope is lost? Don't you ever say that. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves. Ye shall know that I am the Lord means that God is known to us by His works. That's how we come to know Him. Today, we come to know God through His work. That's the only way we can come to know Him. We come to know God today through the fact that He has raised His Son, our Lord and Savior, from the dead. We come to know God today because of His work of giving His Son upon Calvary's cross for my sins. We come to know God today through His Word, through the Scriptures. Thus saith the Lord, the powerful Word of God, as He speaks that Word into our hearts by His Spirit, so that when He says, O my people, we hear, we believe by His grace. We come to know Him in His work of salvation right now from sin and death. Can we say to Him, as we have come to know Him in the Gospel, can we say, my hope is lost? That's not true. That's not right. Don't say that. Say this: my hope in Jesus Christ is sure and steadfast, even unto the end. All that God has promised me, He will give to me from His gracious hand. In a moment we'll sing, our hope is on Jehovah stayed. In Him our hearts are joyful made. Our help and shield is He. I, the Lord, verse 14, I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Our hope is sure. Why is it sure? Because God said it. That's why it's sure. The Lord God has spoken it. Thus saith the Lord. These bones will rise again. Thus saith the Lord. If as a young person you fear one thing, let it be that you fear in holy reverence God's Word. If you would trust one thing, trust the Word of God, what God has spoken. If you will hold to one thing in your life, let it be the Word of God. If you will bank everything on one thing, let it be the Word of God. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will perform it. God's Word calls for hope. Hope in the almighty power of the risen Jesus Christ, who as the Word of God says, these bones are going to rise again. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for the glorious, glorious gospel. We thank Thee, Lord, for the profound, comforting, and thrilling truth. We thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee that Thou art God. We thank Thee that Thou hast spoken it. We thank Thee that Thou hast performed it, that Thou hast raised Thy Son, Jesus, from the dead. We thank Thee that therefore in Him we have been raised from the valley of dry bones. Bone has come to bone, and sinew, and flesh, and heart. And by grace we believe in Thee. We thank Thee that we have a hope that will not make us ashamed, and that one day our soul in death and our body at the day of the resurrection, we shall be raised, and Thou wilt bring us into the land that is pleasant and fair. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.